Welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast, Episode 30. This is Janice, and I'm here this week with a special guest, Kathy Archer. Welcome, Kathy.
Hey, Janice. Welcome to this virtual space. Good to be
here. I know. So it's fun to see you. We can see each other. Of course, everyone else can only hear us. But I wanted to let people know you're also, like David and I, a leadership development coach, and you're also an author of a book called Mastering Confidence. Yes. So we met, this is a bit of a funny story, because we really met on Twitter.
Absolutely.
Which does happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it was, I feel like it was around the time that we were both speaking for Charity Village, right?
And yeah, so I think we both realized we were both CTI, the Coach Training Institute, trained coaches, and ICF, internationally certified coaches, and we're like, look at that.
We have to be friends. Yeah. Yeah, and then you invited me to do a Facebook Live with you for your community, and now you're being kind enough to do this podcast, but also you wrote a really great blog post for us, which was called Regaining a Sense of Control Gives You Increased Confidence. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So why don't you, before we kind of dive into that, like tell us a little bit about like who you work with as a coach, you know, tell us about your book and sort of the kind of community that you're building.
Yeah. So what I know is many of us hit that point in our lives where we start to feel in over our heads, especially as leaders, because I was there and you probably were at once too. And at some point we're kind of wondering if we have what it takes to lead. You know, when I was in a leadership position and I was, you know, trying to balance all of these roles that I was doing, the people I was supervising, the travel I was on, the, you know, putting together performance appraisals and proposals and all this kind of stuff. And like that heavy imposter syndrome, I didn't have a title for it then, but I knew that I did not feel competent. I didn't feel like I was credible. I kind of just kept waiting for the ball to drop and somebody to go, oh, we shouldn't have put you in that position. What were we thinking? So I did a lot of work when I was in leadership positions, and that led me up to the coach training. In fact, I had my own coach towards the end of my career in an organization. And I started to realize that a lot of the struggles that we have as leaders, part of it is the competence part, meaning we haven't properly been trained to lead. Mm-hmm. Many of us move into leadership from frontline positions. But the other part is really this inner kind of doubt, fear, hesitation that we have that really holds us back. So I started to do a lot of learning when I was in that leadership position that then carried me forward into the coach training. And I started to realize if I was struggling that much, there's probably a ton of other leaders that are also struggling that way, especially in nonprofits and charities and, you know, these smaller organizations where there really is a lack of dollars for professional and personal development. And so that's kind of the world that I do most of my work in now, is with women leaders in nonprofits, charities, small businesses, that kind of world.
Yeah, great. And then what inspired you to write your book, Mastering Confidence?
Probably my husband, but, you know, I'll just put that aside.
Well, that's
probably
nice.
Probably the one that kept me moving and getting it done. I think I always wanted to be an author. I never really voiced that until, you know, a few years ago. But again, I realized that there was this lack of information that was easy to read for women and a simple process that we could apply within the confines of our extremely busy lives, trying to raise families, trying to juggle this massive to-do list, probably doing the job of two people, if not more. And, you know, I'm a reader, I'm a learner, I love studying, I love taking training, but much of what I was reading was either, you know, textbooky, you know, like, you know, university course kind of level stuff, or woo-woo stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, lots of beautiful spirituality stuff, and, you know, Wayne Dyer, and, you know, Louise Hay, and all of that kind of the secret world. And I'm like, okay, how's there a blend of this? How do we find this, you know, practical strategy for really regaining our sense of confidence when we get knocked down? And so that's when I started to work on mastering confidence. And as I developed it, I really did realize that it was a that there, we need to access, like I say, those inner thoughts that we have and get control of those inner thoughts, which is what the blog post was all about, was sort of that, you know, often why we struggle with confidence is we give our power away. Mm. You know, I haven't had the training. It's not my fault. Or if only my boss would let me do this, or it's because I have so much to do. And we constantly kind of play sort of that victim role. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's the sector, it's the field, it's because I'm a woman, whatever, you add it all up. And when we can sort of stop that and sort of put the brakes on and say, but what's really going on? Well, really, I'm lacking the confidence. Really, I'm not sure of myself. Really, I've had the training. I'm just not practicing it, or I'm afraid to practice it. I'm afraid of looking stupid. I'm afraid of failing or making a mess of things. And so when we can, you know, slow that process down, we can take back what I call responsibility, but becoming response able, breaking mm-hmm. that down, going, I'm able to respond to these circumstances. I'm able to take responsibility for this situation. That doesn't mean I know all the answers or can fix it or can solve all the problems, but I can take responsibility and say, okay, what is it that I need to learn? What are the skills? Maybe I need to learn how to, you know, do something technical. Janice and I were talking at the beginning before we started the podcast about recording podcasts and all the techie stuff. When I was in leadership, I remember taking training on Excel spreadsheets. Like I had no idea how to do budgets or how to read budget reports. You know, maybe that's the skills you need to learn so that you can feel more competent when your boss says, or your board chair says, so how are we doing financially? Instead of going, oh, I have no idea. You
know, so. Yes. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. And it's, you were saying to me just, yeah, before we, when we were sort of warming up, that the inner guidance cycle that you really go through in the blog post, and you are kind enough to link to on your website so people have more resources about that. That was kind of a, like an organic thing that sort of evolved as you were writing the book.
Yeah, I didn't have the four P's when I first started writing the book. It came together. And in fact, there's now a fifth P that when I do the redo of the book at some point. So the 4 points, basically what this is these are 4 steps that I encourage people to do sort of in a process of like longer term, you know, maybe over the course of a week or in the evenings, but also in the middle of a meeting or in the middle of that performance appraisal when you're ready to, you know, run and hide or when you get triggered. But the 4 points are pause, ponder, pivot, proceed. The 5th point in the book was repeat. It's actually practice now, if you want to add another. I think we need a lot of practice with this stuff. So pause. We are like so active, so busy, constantly on the go for a variety of reasons. One is just the magnitude of work that we have. Again, especially in smaller organizations and nonprofits, the workload is immense. So we bounce from phone call to meeting to, you know, writing this report and doing email and checking our texts and going on Twitter. And, you know, we just go, go, go. And we get home in the evening. We got to grab groceries and take the kids here and rush over there. And then, you know, try and fold some laundry before we go to bed.
Yes. So I have had people tell me like, yeah, even like drinking water, going to the washroom, like basic things that people should be doing. It's like they're struggling at work. And I'm like, oh, that's out of control.
I have one client that sometimes we will get on a coaching call and she'll be like, oh, I have to go pee. And I'm like, hang up the phone, go pee, call me back. Like, you need to go to the bathroom. You need to have a drink of water. You need to take a breath.
Yes.
And we don't do those kinds of things. And part of it is we really are busy. The other part is we're avoiding life. We know that when we slow down, all of our emotions and all of the stuff that's been happening will catch up to us. We'll realize, you know, 20 pounds has turned into 30 pounds overweight. Our marriage is falling apart. We're in a career that we're not happy with. Our mother's dying, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. When we slow down, all of that will sort of hit us. And so we're really like trying to outrun all of that.
So what do you find is the way that you take a pause, or, you know, a few ways?
Yeah. The biggest one is breath. That I recently, so we'll talk about this at the end, but I do a training library where I do monthly webinars and courses for my members, the subscribers of the training library. But I recently did a webinar on how to breathe. Mm-hmm. I mean, most of us don't know how to breathe. And when we can use the power of our breath, and as I said earlier, in the middle of a meeting, I'm not talking about meditating at the beginning or end of our day. That's wonderful. And we mm-hmm. should, those are helpful things to do. But learning in the middle of a meeting. So I was at a meeting a couple days ago and I could just feel I got triggered, right? And I just kind of slowed my breathing down. Nobody else knew what was going on, but I slowed my breathing down. So breath is one way. I'm a great lover of solitude. So I spend a lot of time in solitude, either, you know, going for a walk in the afternoon. And it's interesting because people say, well, you can do that. This is, you know, you work from home. I used to do that in my organization. Mm-hmm. I would tell my admin support, I'm going for a walk. And I would go for a walk around the block. We had a beautiful dike then. I would take a walk along the river. I took time out, and not a lot of time, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half hour, if I had the luxury of doing that, but time to myself. And then the other one, of course, for me is journaling. And by journaling, I don't mean, you know, Dear Diary, although if that works for you, do that. But, you know, bullet points. One method I heard recently was, you know, writing a memo to yourself. Imagine, you know, you have a problem at work and you say, you know, how do I deal with so-and-so, or how do I deal with this lack of funding here, or whatever, and just answering the questions and finding that that's enough to slow the thinking down.
Yeah. Nice. Cool. Okay. So there's a pause. Very good ways to pause. Yes. So then ponder.
Ponder is the part where you look at what are your thoughts, feelings, and body sensations. So what am I thinking? Oh my God, I'm falling apart. I can't do this. My boss is a jerk. You know, I'm never going to get through my to-do list. Whatever the thoughts are. The feelings are emotions, you know. And I'll just say again, the course that I did last month in my training library was all about emotional literacy, because we have like four basic emotions: happy, sad, mad, glad.
Yeah.
But we need to dig deeper than that. You know, maybe I'm embarrassed. Maybe I'm overwhelmed. Maybe I'm jealous. You know, what's the actual feeling that I'm feeling? And then the other one is the body sensations. You know, my heart is racing, or sweaty palms and pits, or, you know, my face just turned red. What's the body sensation? Because those are all connected. Mm-hmm. So tuning into what's going on inside, and then kind of getting a sense, okay, so what happened that just triggered that? Well, so-and-so said this, or, you know, I got this email in my inbox, or kind of making sense of what happened in that moment.
Yeah. I like that. That's an area that I'm constantly trying to grow more into, particularly in my body, like actually noticing.
And it's funny, because when you were just saying a minute earlier about people not knowing they have to go to the bathroom, you know, how do you know the difference between hunger, nervousness, anger, and having to go to the bathroom if you're not tuning into your body? And that's part of the reason why we have so many health issues, because we're not tuning in so often.
Yes. So much wisdom. Yes. In our bodies. All right. And pivot.
Pivot is when we start to shift perspective. So, okay, I just got triggered by a comment that person said, but what's another way of seeing it? Or, you know, we get this tunnel vision, especially when we're stressed. We can only see one thing one way. And when we can take that breath, slow the process down, we start to, you know, broaden our perspective a little bit and see things differently. And it might be that we need to ask a question instead of trying to solve the problem. Mm-hmm. It might mean, you know what, let's put this on hold and come back to it tomorrow. It might be that you've realized, I need to go have a conversation with somebody, you know, and it's like, oh, you make or maybe you need to apologize or whatever it is, but you do that shift again.
Yeah, great. And then proceed.
Proceed is the hardest in reality. Once you get through the other ones, because once you've stopped and you, you know, maybe do realize you need to go make that apology, or maybe set that hard boundary or something, it's having the courage to get there. You know, that's often where we struggle, is we lack that confidence or that courage to take that step. And so maybe what we've realized is, you know what, it's time for me to go look for another job, or go back to school, or have that conversation with that person. And it's like, ugh. And so, but that's what proceed is. It's getting back into action and moving forward. And so, yeah, that takes a lot of that inner sort of awareness about, again, body sensations. I realize I need to do this, but I'm feeling the tightening in my chest. I'm noticing the urge to procrastinate, to, you know, look down instead of making eye contact, whatever it is.
Yes.
And then, yeah. And then the last step is the practice piece. And this is the piece about, you know, part of it is when we're learning new ways of having conversations with people, when we are trying to figure out what's going on in our body, it's like writing it down. What are my thoughts? What are my feelings? What are my body sensations? What triggered me? And practicing that process daily or at least weekly and coming back to it again and again. I came home from a meeting yesterday and I said to my husband, do I really take control of the situation that often? And he's like, yep. I'm like, really? How many times do I have to learn this lesson before I kind of let go, right?
Yeah. So I heard, I think it was Michael Bungay Stanier, who's a coach here in Toronto. I think it was on his podcast, if I remember correctly, that he says we think we have to learn all these lessons in life, but really in some ways we're just learning the same lesson over and over again. And that so resonated yes. with me. So I'm wondering, because I know you work with, you know, a lot of women clients and particularly in the nonprofit sector. So if they're struggling, because this is what I find, I'm asking partly for myself, is like, how do we even remember to pause when we're in the chaos? So what advice would you give to...
There's a whole section in my book that tells you how to do that, because you're right, it's so, so important. Scheduling it in. So making sure that you schedule it into your agenda. I will tell leaders, you need time for reflection in the middle of the afternoon. So before you go home at night and all of the stuff that's been, you know, churning in your stomach all day kind of falls out into the dog or the kids or your husband, you need to reflect and go, what happened at that meeting this morning? So, I mean, 10 minutes, scheduling it into your calendar. Reminders are important. Reminders on your phone, reminders in your calendar. And so that you, when you do have that scheduled time, that you make use of it. But then also reminders about like things like I would set timers on my phone to like make funny noises, or I would have like, you know, the line of a song play, or, you know, people around me like, what is that? But after a while they got used to it. I was listening to Thich Nhat Hanh. Is that how you say, I always pronounce his name wrong. His book yesterday, and he was saying, you know, the phone ringing is a good reminder, or when you get in your vehicle, before you start your vehicle, to just use that as a signal to remind yourself, take a deep breath, you know, and then, you know, say things like, where was I? Where am I going? What's the feeling that was at that meeting? You know, what do I need to sift through? When, you know, I was talking about solitude earlier, when we're driving from one appointment to the next or one meeting or we're on transit or whatever, our urge is often to, you know, listen to a podcast or turn the radio on or listen to music. And it's the habit, creating the habit of silence, you know, just using that 5 minutes between meetings or wherever you're doing to just process it.
Yeah.
So it really is about creating reminder systems and habits to create that time into your day.
Yeah, I love that, because I think sometimes we want it to be organic, but and really, unless we schedule it and are intentional about it, it doesn't, like, it can become organic. I think you can get to the place where you can just pause when you need to, but you're so right in that you really do need to carve that out. So,
well, and it, you know, I think you're right, organically, like, where do you have your best ideas? When you're driving, in the shower, you know, like, that's where your best ideas come. But you're right, we have to create the space for that kind of feeling.
Yes, yeah, yes. And then we have to, like you said, it's like then we have to be willing to like notice it, think about it, do something about it. So speaking of doing things, we, as you know, we love to give our listeners something to try. So what would you like to offer them?
I would really encourage them to grab my book, Mastering Confidence. It's on Amazon, Audible, iTunes, so you can listen to it. You can read it. But also, if you go to my website, so silverrivercoaching.com and then /inner guidance system, and Janice will put the link in the podcast. So again, I'll just say that, silverrivercoaching.com/inner guidance system. There's a whole bunch of resources out of my book that you can have for free. So videos and downloads and different things. You can even access part of the book for free, the audio version of the book. So just start to go over there. You can print off the inner guidance cycle, which is like a circle, and, you know, pop that on your bulletin board, put it in the front of your day timer, wherever it is to remind you to do that sort of I need to pause more often. I need to stop, take a deep breath, just reflect, have a walk, roll my shoulders, go pee, whatever.
Yeah. Drink some water.
Yeah, exactly. And then ponder, like I need to just do some more reflection and thinking and, you know, kind of getting a sense of what's going on and what's been happening. And then, yeah, just ask yourself, what other way can I see this? And then get your butt back into action.
That's the key. Well, yeah. I want to thank you for, you know, sharing some a little slice of your book. And of course, hopefully people can go and read the full thing. And it's just, I mean, it's been kind of a fun journey for us. I do think it's always, there's been a few people I've met on Twitter and it's always kind of a weird thing. And then to just realize, like, as you said, like we have so many things in common, and to get to know you both like virtually and in person. Well, in person, I say on the video. Feels like in
person. One day we'll meet.
So thank you. And the other thing, just before we go, I know you have a great Facebook community that I'm part of. So why don't you tell our listeners as well, if they're on Facebook, how they can find you there?
Yes. If you go to, I'll give you the link, Janice, after to make sure you put okay. it in the notes, but it's Confident Women Leaders Community is the name of the community. It's on my Facebook page. So if you search Kathy Archer, Silver River Coaching on Facebook, you'll find my Facebook page. The community is tagged at the top and it is a private community. So not everybody can sort of see into it. So you have to ask to join. Please answer the questions. It's important that you answer the questions when you join. And it is specifically for women in leadership or who want to be in leadership positions learning. And I don't mean technically leadership positions, mm-hmm. not necessarily the title, but, you know, find yourself leading in your organization or in your life or in your community and that want to grow and develop themselves. And so we're creating a network. I think one of the biggest challenges for women in leadership is what's called a loneliness crisis. We feel isolated, we feel alone, we feel we have nobody to talk to. And so by creating this community, I want to create a safe place where women can connect, you know, learn some things. And then I'm in there almost daily, probably sharing little tidbits and information about growing yourself, developing your confidence to be your best and to find that balance in life.
And you make great videos because people can, I'm sure, hear your like enthusiasm and kind of fun, vibrant personality. But it's even when you see her on the video, it's like even. Thank you. So thanks, Kathy. And we're going to invite you to try the inner guidance cycle and go put it into practice. Bye.
Bye.